can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway, brought to you by AdamandEve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item at AdamandEve.com using promo code GSMC. So today, we are going to be reviewing or talking about Thor Ragnarok and Saw, the Jigsaw movie. So the Jigsaw movies came back, Return of Jigsaw. That's going to be pretty interesting. Got some funny stuff to say about that. Not really funny, just my take on a few different things in the movie. But first, we're going to cover Thor Ragnarok. It's the third Thor movie, and I've never been a huge fan of Thor until this movie. I mean, I like Thor. I like his concept. He's got the whole hammer. He's an alien, which is cool. Like, the other Avengers are from the planet Earth, which, I mean, they're from the Earth and they're basically regular humans. But Thor's got this whole European accent, but I'm an alien type of flow, which I always thought was interesting. And they did a good job of that in this movie. Just because I love the way for Asgard, that's where Thor is from, they do a good job of the whole futuristic Game of Thrones thing. So they're aliens, but they live like this medieval European lifestyle where there's peasants, but then there's also these like futuristic castles, and they have like this elevator where you can go to different planets. So I enjoy the concept of Thor just because the movies are usually different just because he's a different character. So his storylines are always, I don't want to say always, but they're usually something to be, you can usually expect something different from a Thor storyline. So I haven't been a big fan of his just because when I was younger, I didn't run into a lot of Thor comic books. He wasn't the X-Men. So that wasn't somebody that I would hear a lot from. But this movie actually made me a big fan of Thor. First of all, I want to say the acting and the shorthand lines, the like slapstick, the humor was really good. It was perfectly used. Sometimes the whole one-liners, they can get out of hand and be overused, and they can get like incredibly corny. But I like the use of it in this movie. And to me, they didn't go over the top at all. Thor is funny in the movie. He's played by Chris Hemsworth, which does an incredible job at being Thor like all the time. You can't really pick a better person for Thor. You've got the Hulk in it, so the Hulk makes an appearance, and they did a great job with Hulk in this movie, just because Hulk actually gets to talk, which makes the movie funnier. Usually, When Hulk's in a movie, he just does the whole caveman, Neanderthal. No, I'm sorry. He doesn't talk at all. He never talks. He just yell Hulk smash, and he's uncontrollable. He's flipping out. He just doesn't know what's happening, just smashing bad guys or whatnot. But in this movie, he actually gets to talk. So when they did that, they gave him like this whole, like, how do I say, like, baby Neanderthal type of speech where he's not super articulate. He just says Thor smash, Thor stay, Thor home, things like that. And it's they gave him a character, which is helpful, because usually he's just, usually like when Marvel puts Thor in a, usually when Marvel puts Hulk in the movie, they just make him big and he smashes things. That's it. He's a force of nature, and it's basically for them to just show off their CGI. But in this movie, they actually had Thor speaking. So you got Chris Hemsworth, you got Mark Ruffalo playing Thor, obviously. You got Cate Blanchett. She plays the villain, she's actually plays Thor's sister, who has come back to take the throne rightfully. And you got Idris Elba, of course. Stan Lee makes an appearance. Anthony Hopkins as Thor's dad. And Jeff Goldblum in this movie plays Jeff Goldblum plays an eccentric okay, so you remember Gladiator, right? So Joaquin Phoenix plays like the emperor who's running the arena of the gladiators, right? That's who Jeff Goldblum plays. He plays what's called the Grand Master. And so when you watch the trailer has Hulk and Thor fighting in this huge arena. Jeff Goldblum is who runs that, and he's hilarious in the movie. He does a seriously great job. I knew this movie was gonna be something I'd be interested in, just because when I saw the trailer, I thought I don't know what this is about. Now at first, when you see the trailer, you're like, okay, they're in an arena, Thor and Hulk are gonna fight, maybe it's gonna be like some Tournament of Champions type of thing where they're gonna fight forever, and then that's what it's gonna be. Now, that crossed my mind when I saw the trailer, but I was like, nah, Marvel wouldn't do us like that. That's not creative at all. I hope Marvel doesn't do that. If they do, I'm going to be pretty upset. So with that, when I saw the trailer, I was like, I don't really know what this is going to be about, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. And with that, I went in pretty confident. The story is actually full of metaphors that makes you kind of think about growth in like an underlining type of way. But it's not, don't let me scare you off, it's not like esoteric and incredibly intrinsic, we're gonna be like, oh my god, I just want to watch a Marvel movie. It's nothing like that at all. There's some things where if you think in a particular way, like you'll notice some stuff, like primarily like a lot about growth. I'm not gonna give you guys any spoilers in the movie. In the very beginning of the movie, Thor has to face some adversity. And it's really cool because what ends up happening is that for a lot of the movie, Thor doesn't have his hammer. And that may have been another reason why I wasn't really a big fan of Thor, the actual Marvel hero from the movies, because he just always has this hammer, you know. And it's not that I have anything against people that have like weapons, but Wolverine's claws, they're like built inside of him. And Cyclops has this ray that's like built inside of his like eyes. But Thor's hammer is like just, it's a weapon. Tony Stark like wears this actual suit. But when you have a hero that has a weapon, it's kind of like, nah, you know, it's kind of a turnoff. But I think one reason why I really liked it was because for a lot of the movie, Thor didn't have his hammer. So you actually got to see the character like as just himself. And he gets his haircut. So he actually, in a way, kind of becomes more relatable. I mean, that's for the most part. We like to see superheroes because of alter egos. However, we also do like something to be more relatable. If something is isn't relatable at all, if it doesn't really give us any emotion, then I mean it's kind of a turnoff. I think that they did a good job in the story. It's superior because there's no dead moments in the adventure. There's not wasted scenes. Everything seems to have a purpose. There's not any wasted lines. You're not going to be sitting there. It's never a time where like, oh, is this over yet? Oh, is this over yet? Oh, is this, why did they say that? Why are they doing that? There's no weird plot twist that you have to think about like after the movie. And then you're like, why did they do that to me in this Marvel movie? Like so the writers did a solid job when it came to that. It seemed like because it didn't even follow the regular superhero formula. Well, as far as we have a problem, we got to solve, we got to team up as a squad to take care of it. They did a good job as far as that goes. I don't really think that it followed the formula. And as far as the way things go and the way the movie wraps itself up, they did an awesome job at kind of turning the way people face adversity on its head. They did a solid job of that, I would say. The music is great. I actually, I wanted to see this movie really bad, so I ended up going to a sold out show and sat in the front. But it was a theater that offered food as well. So they had like the food in the reclining seats. So when you're in a seat and it reclines back, then it's not that bad sitting in the front. It's not like a regular front seat because it costs a little bit more. So it wasn't bad, actually. It wasn't bad at all. So I would say that the movie was really loud, but it's because I was sitting in the front. The soundtrack is solid. I really like the way they did the elements. There weren't any situations where sometimes when you watch a superhero movie, people are just too strong. And when I was talking about just a few seconds ago about how when something's not relatable, it doesn't evoke any emotion. It doesn't really make us feel that good about it. You know, like there's not any, so when something's just outrageous, like out of this world, I'll give you an example. In the Superman movie that they made when they recasted the person after Christopher Reeves, they brought Superman back. There was a part in the movie where Superman caught an airplane in the middle of a baseball stadium, and I was done. Now, he's Superman. He could do anything. But when you catch an airplane, like the airplane was crashing and then he put his hand up and like he had to like stop it. And like he's sliding backwards a little bit as like holding the airplane in the air, then puts it down in the stadium. I'm like, come on, dude. Like he's Superman. But some things when they're so far out of this world that it's just so unrelatable that it kind of turns you off. And no one expects to be a superhero, and no one expects movies to be realistic. However, when it doesn't evoke any emotion, it makes it very, very hard to relate to. So they did a good job where when Thor was fighting a villain, or when a villain was fighting Thor, or when Hulk was fighting a villain, they did a good job of not making it so outrageously ridiculous that you're like, okay, I don't really want to watch this. On the funny stuff in it, they did a good job of having it be funny, but still like mix it, but still have it more serious enough to follow the plot. So I want to say more humor than like an Avengers movie, because the Avengers movies have gotten kind of lit, especially the last one, Civil War, where like they're beefing. So more humor than that, but also more clever as far as the lines go, but less humor than like Guardians of the Galaxy, where everything is a one-liner. And I like Guardians of the Galaxy movies. They're just a different branch of Marvel. I mean, for that cast, that works really, really well. I mean, Batista is in it, and you know, he's a wrestler. So it works well for that particular cast. So if they would have did that in the Thor movie, I wouldn't have liked it too much, because that's too much. But they did it more than the Avengers, where it's like you're still having a good time. They actually have, there's a character in it named Korg. Kind of reminds me of Thing, because he's made of rocks. And he's a comic relief. He's got a bunch of one-liners. He says clever things are pretty funny. I enjoyed listening to him talk. We got an appearance. I believe she is in the trailer. She's a Valkyrie. Her name is Tessa Thompson. She is a Valkyrie that's originally from Thor's planet, and she rolls with Thor to go back and solve this issue that they're having that Thor needs help with, and they all team up and everything. Well, you know, they try to get some stuff worked out. Idris Elba is in it, of course, because he's solid. He makes an appearance being Idris Elba, doing Idris Elba things. And he plays Heimdall, of course. But Cate Blanchett as the villain, jeez, she was stellar. I can't name a villain who was just as, let's say, like epic as her. She was the way she showed up on the planet and was like, yo, I'm gonna run this. I need everybody to kneel. She would give people a chance to kneel, and if they didn't kneel, it was just a done deal. It was a done deal for them. And the fighting style, the action scenes, at one point, Cate Blanchett, a.k.a. Thor's sister, a.k.a. Hela, she fights off, I want to say, like 400 guys. So her character's awesome. They do a good job with the way that she's with the way her costume is and the way her makeup is and all that. The reason I say this is because a lot of times when they have female villains and they're like, they prepare for battle, they have them fighting with their hair down. And I haven't like had my hair ever that long, but if it was that long and I had to fight somebody, I don't think it'd be down. WNBA players don't have their hair down, and they participate in battle nightly. So I'm not a huge fan of that. I guess Hollywood does that because it's popular to see women with their hair down, but she does this thing with her hair. It turns into like this like thunderbolt type of thing when she's about to fight. So it's not everywhere, but it's still like, it's still supposed to emulate hair. And I like that they did that. The costumes, all that stuff is incredible. They also did an element that has kind of they did not a lot of it, but it was probably a little bit, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes of it, if that, not even that. What, in a 2-hour movie, 5 minutes? Sure, I'll say 5 minutes. They did some of the cinematography, like inspired by 300, where the guys are like falling off the cliffs type of thing. I think it's Sin City-ish, Frank Miller, where there's a bunch of pictures. They're flat, but they're moving, you know, like that type of camera angle. So that was cool. Like that style, I like when they put that it adds some seriousness to a superhero movie when you're able to do that. So I thought the cinematography was good. It was awesome. The only spoiler I'll give you, it's not even really a spoiler, I'm just going to give you guys a heads up so you don't waste any time. There is an Easter egg at the end of the movie. So I would recommend waiting for the Easter egg, and with that, you will do with it what you will. Oh, of course, Loki's in it. Loki, Thor's brother makes an appearance, and it's they have their sibling rivalry like they usually have, you know. They have to overcome some obstacles. I'm not going to tell you if they work them out. I'm not going to tell you if they do, but Loki's in it, played by Tom Hiddleston. His lines are rewarding. Him and Thor's banter is really good. It's fun to listen to because it's not overdone. So it's something where you can listen to it, feel good about it. My takeaway from the movie is that the movie is really about growth. And I liked, again, Thor does have his hammer for a lot of the movie. So you actually get to see the character. I'm not saying he's walking on beaches in reading and giving speeches and like personal development seminars. Like I'm not saying that, but he doesn't have his hammer for a lot of it. So it's cool to see him. It's cool to see him without his hammer, basically. I mean, they also do this thing where for the storyline, they make it so that Hulk has been Hulk for 2 years and he ends up turning back into Bruce Banner, and Thor and Hulk, if you've watched any of the Avengers shows, movies, you would know that they're probably not the best. They're probably not like the bestest of friends, but they end up having a team up to, they end up working out their differences, which is cool because you get to see the dynamic of just those two individuals, where sometimes if you watch a superhero movie, everyone's getting together because of the dynamic of the team. It's one team having to work something out, but being able to see Hulk slash Bruce Banner get along with Thor to get this situation figured out, especially for something Hulk doesn't even have to do, it's pretty cool. So I definitely enjoyed the movie. I'm gonna go see it again once I get some time. I'm grinding. I work hard out here. You guys know Ryan Holloway. So I do want to see it again. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna give it a 5. I'm gonna give it a 4.9. I'm gonna give it a 4.9 because I would have liked it if it was a little bit longer. Because I actually had a really good time watching it, especially there weren't any. I don't think there were any wasted scenes or wasted time in the movie. It wasn't overly corny, and I'm in the sci-fi. So when they're on different planet, they go to Earth, and then they go to Asgard, and they go to the planet where the battles are at, and they end up having to go do that, and it's like this intergalactical movement. I enjoy that, especially when you mix a superhero that's clever in it. So it's not, you don't have to be a physicist to get it figured out, And you can, and you don't have to be a major comic book fan to get it figured out. I'm not somebody that's dedicated to the storyline of the comics, so I didn't have massively high expectations for the storyline. I just wanted to be entertained, and I didn't want it to be predictable. I'm going to give it a 5. With that, I'm going to step out to this commercial break right now. When I get back, I'm going to talk about the new Saw movie. Be right back. Thanks for listening. Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift, so sensual, we can't mention it on the podcast. And to top it all off, they will even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, they're not kidding. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type GSMC for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free adult DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code football at adamandeve.com. That's GSMC at adamandeve.com. Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway. In the last segment, I reviewed Thor Ragnarok, which was great. I recommend you go see it. Terrific adventure, wonderful movie, beautifully done, great acting. I recommend it. In fact, when I get some time, I'm probably going to go see it again. I am going to see it again. Today, our next movie, we're going to talk about Jigsaw, the return of the Saw series. So, for those of you who don't know Saw or haven't ever seen one of the Saw movies, they're mind tricks where you basically, well, you're getting your mind messed with, and so are the people in the movie. Because basically what ends up happening is the movie pops on and two people, maybe multiple people, are trapped somewhere. They've all done some foul things. They've got to figure out how to get their way out of it. And there's usually traps, and it starts off with, do you want to play a game? By the end of the movie, you don't know who was involved, and you get tricked, and you feel really bad because people die horrific deaths. One thing I do want to say, among a lot of things I'm going to say about this movie, is that I never realized how far ahead of time like those movies were. Because the newest one I saw, Jigsaw, just came out, they have the traps, and I was thinking, like, some of the traps, some of the things used as far as blades and syringes and the way they were put together, I was like, this seems a lot like the old movies, but it's still good. And I was like, why is that? And I was like, oh, because the other ones were really good too. Like, the whole concept of the way those movies were being made, like, they're trapped and people face moral dilemmas and they have to do certain things. Like, say, like on this one, the people had to, like, purposely hurt. Well, this happens in all of them. They had to purposely hurt themselves to get out of a particular situation, which is pretty much how every single one of them is. I'll give you guys a small example, a small tidbit. There's a part of the movie where they say to escape this part, you're going to have to give some blood. A drop of blood, anything, or else it's going to be a wrap for you. So they end up having to put their hands on a blade to give up some blood. Just a couple people, the rest of them, you know. But that's how, so that's a small example of usually what Jigsaw, who's a serial killer, usually requests of people. What's cool is, it's not even cool. This is, I need a better word for it. What's astonishing is that Jigsaw, the actual serial killer, he's dead. He's been dead like a while, but he keeps handing down these tasks to people to take care of for him. But he has all these tapes that are made of him saying, of him giving instructions. And that's the cool thing about it. That's the dope thing about it, because they have people are continuing to like follow his lead, where in real life this would be terrible, but people are following his lead of punishing people that seem to deserve it, that aren't getting their just desserts from the legal system. It's graphic as usual. I mean, somebody ends up bleeding from the ears and the eyes and like melting on like imagine Children of the Corn from the 90s, but then move it to like 2040. The cast is pretty good. It's similar to what they usually do in Saw movies. The story is always bigger than the characters. So they usually tend to tone down the stars and who they pick for the movies. Not to say I would never call anyone like a D celebrity or anything like that. They're not going to like cast Tom Cruise for one of the movies. Similar to Marvel did this with the Hulk. I was speaking about the Hulk in Thor last segment, actually. They did this with the Hulk, where the Hulk was played by Edward Norton, but allegedly they changed the character of the Hulk and made it Mark Ruffalo because they didn't want a character who was like bigger than the story, which is weird because they have Robert Downey Jr. who plays Iron Man, but Robert Downey Jr. is a perfect Iron Man. Anyway, I digress. So yeah, the cast, they don't have anyone that would be bigger than the story, because they want people to talk about the story, which makes sense. I get that. The time advances in it are interesting, because like before, well, they're still cassette tapes, but before in the other ones, there would like be cassette tapes for his sound and for his voice. Like, would you like to play a game? And this is what's going to happen. If you guys don't do this, you guys need to know this is for real. I'm not even playing. But they have a USB drive for the sound for one of his clips, which, you know, just goes to show how far that we moved in technology. But when they're in the traps, they're still of tape record that says play me, and they still play it. So they still give a homage to the older movies. The original actor that plays Jigsaw, of course he makes a cameo in it. He has to make a cameo. Even though he's dead, he's got to make a cameo somehow, just because, you know, that's how it goes. I feel like he's a little bit more, not he, because he's not really alive, but like whoever's perpetrating it for him, I feel like they're a little bit more ruthless than usual, which makes me hope they do continue to make these movies, because like they haven't made one since 2010, and it could be because they did run out of stuff to do, because the writing for that has got to be, I don't want to say strenuous, but I would say mentally exhausting. Because I've seen, there's five of them. I saw four of them. The first two were, I liked them a lot. Three and four, I'm going to say that I didn't have the best time. This one, for what it was as a Saw movie, I'm going to say it was good. It did make me want to binge watch the other one. So I want to go through and binge watch them, just because I haven't seen them in forever, and they have good stories. But this is going to sound weird, but I don't think there was enough that happened in it. And for it to be gone so long, and then to bring it back and it be an hour and a half, I don't know if the fans got what they deserve, really. I'm not sure how long they were working on this movie, but for it to be gone that long and then come back, you would want, I don't know, maybe an hour 45, maybe 2 hours. Then again, how long can you make a horror movie, right? Because that's what it is. I mean, no matter how we look at it, as far as how people are dying or how they're being like decapitated or chopped up, it's still a horror movie. No matter how much of the psychological thriller you want to put in it. I don't know if you guys remember Seven from a while ago, but it had Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, which was, I would say, That was definitely a psychological thriller. Like, you didn't know who the serial killer was, and that was happening. I saw there's also some movies on Netflix that are psychological thrillers, and when you're watching them, you don't really think of them as horror movies, but they are. I mean, if terrible things are happening to people, just because you got to think about it a little bit more, and it makes your mind work, it's still they're still horror movies. So in Saw's defense, I guess they couldn't make it like that long. I just believe for the to be gone that long, it seems like it should have a little bit more to it. But if this is just an introduction to what they're going to be doing for the next, I don't know, 5 years, if we're going to bring Saw back and start and handle it like that, then I'm okay with just getting our feet wet and making sure we can make the movie. It did start abruptly. There wasn't a lot of introduction to it, because if you're watching a Saw movie, I guess you should kind of just know what's going on. But the way it started, though, it was the abrupt was a little the abrupt start was too swift. It wasn't. I don't need an introduction. I don't need a Star Wars paragraph, like, in a galaxy far, far away, in a time. Yeah, I don't need anything like that. I don't need anyone to read a movie to me. I don't need a script. Just the way it started might have been a little too, okay, we're doing this now. Like, nah, I don't know. I feel like it could have started a little bit better than it did. But it did meet all the Saw requirements. There was some gore. There was some stuff that made you think about some stuff. And I don't want to say that the villain, I don't want to say the villain or the person that's perpetrating the murders is kind of obvious, but I'm going to say that it might be a little obvious. So the story was okay. For what it was for Saw, I would expect the story to blow my mind, or I would expect the traps and what's going on within the traps to blow my mind. But I don't necessarily think that my mind was that blown. Again, I do want to. It did make me want to go binge watch the other ones. So if this is the introduction, which it kind of seemed that way, it seemed like this may be the introduction, like, going forward for like some more. I think it sounds like we're going to reawaken the series. If that's what it was, then that's great. Like, I'm completely with this being an introduction. If this was just like a kind of a little, if this was like a little money grab to just make a movie and just get me to go see it, I'm low key offended, because if I haven't seen something for a while, then I would have wanted something a little bit more popping than that, you know. So we'll see. I'm gonna sit back and wait for some more of them. For now, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. I'm gonna binge watch the other ones and see if the story connects that well. Because when they did the whole breakdown in the end, here's the thing, this is my problem. I'm gonna tell you guys what happens. Usually at the end of Saw, when they're telling you what the twist was, and they tell you exactly like what happened and why, how we got to where we're at, and they show you what you didn't notice and all this stuff, usually when they're doing that recap, it's blowing your mind. You're like, oh my God, oh, I missed that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, wow, this happened. This one, when they did it this time, it was like, really? And they're going over like how we got to the situation, who's doing what and why they're doing it. It's like, come on, dude. Like, that's where we're at. And it took them forever to explain it. Like, it was like they wanted to convince me it was a good twist. Like, look, this twist right here, trust us, this is what you want. And I was like, no, it's not what I want. But if that twist had to be explained that long because this is the introduction to more movies, I'm with it. If this was like a money grab, then I'm disappointed and I feel cheated in that way. So that's how I feel about Saw for right now. For that being what it was, I'm gonna give it a 3. As a big fan of Saw, also, like, I'm gonna give it a 3. I'm going to say one thing that I did enjoy about it was the acting. The acting in the Saw movies, even though they don't cast like the big actors because they want you to focus on the story, the acting was good. The acting's always good. To see people pretend to be that terrified terrifies me. When people are going through the Saw gauntlets and going through the situations they're going through, I'm scared. I feel really bad for them. There's no laughing. There's no, huh, she sounds silly. There's no, huh, that guy's not a man. It's, whoa, I really, really don't want to be where they are. At one point, one guy has to choose between like one of his limbs and something else. And I couldn't imagine being that guy. So I'm going to give it a 3. I do recommend you guys see it because it's a horror movie. Actually, you know what? I apologize. For it being a horror movie, I'm going to give it a 4 because I don't even like that many horror movies. And for that being a horror movie, I'd watch it again. Usually if I watch a horror movie, I'm not going to watch it again. So I'd give it a 4. My ranking is based on genre primarily. Everything can't be ranked from, I can't rank things from a scale of 1 to 5 all on the same scale. That's not fair. What, I'm going to rank the best football game I've ever seen compared to the best basketball game? No, it's 2 different genres of sport. So I'm going to give Saw a 4 when it comes to horror movies. I'll say it was a 4. With that, I'm going to give you guys an update on some trailers that I saw. I haven't seen one Justice League trailer that I've ever liked until I watched Thor. The Justice League trailer was popping. It was ostentatious as everything. It was sleek. They had a couple one-liners in there. It was long. They kind of showed a story versus the other ones where they're just... The other trailers for Justice League that I've seen, it seems like just noise and explosions. This one, if anyone can see the most recent trailer for Justice League, go check it out and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now I'm looking forward to that movie and I can't wait to review that one for you guys. I'm genuinely looking forward to Justice League because of the last trailer that I saw. Thanks. Thank you, DC. I'm looking forward to it. The next trailer, I saw a trailer for Pacific Rim and I didn't know they planned on making another Pacific Rim movie, but apparently they do. So I'm the first one. I can't say that I was that excited about it. I had a lot of friends that saw it. They seemed to like it a lot. From what I gathered, there were some flaws with it because of the way they did the casting. Like they said that Charlie Hunnam, who is the star of Sons of Anarchy, they said that his accent was like leaking through, kind of like he was doing the English accent but then wasn't really doing an English accent. And he actually talked about that on an interview on YouTube. He talked about how he was going back and forth so much during Sons of Anarchy and then using his other accent that ended up just getting mixed in together, and now he has like a cross of both. So it's interesting. The star of this Pacific Rim movie is going to be John Boyega. He's the kid from the new Star Wars movies, which I think is a perfect fit because he's already kind of a big deal by being an action star in the Star Wars movies. They're going to put him in these Pacific Rim movies. And he looked pretty intense in the movie. They gave him this haircut, like a blade haircut. Not a blade haircut. Demolition Man. No, yeah, blade. Like a flat top with like a lightning bolt on the side. It's going to be pretty cool. So I'm excited about it. I'm more of a trailer guy. So when they show me another trailer, I think I'll probably be a little bit more excited about seeing it. And I'm looking forward to seeing that movie. I wasn't a big fan of the first one. It didn't look very appealing to me. It did not. But I'm going to go see this one and we're going to see what's popping. When I return to my next podcast or to my next movie review, I'm going to go ahead and I want to see this Blade Runner movie and find out what's going on with that. I saw the first one in a film studies class. I didn't know how good Blade Runner was, but Harrison Ford is in it and Ryan Gosling is in it. And I just want to find out. I want to find out what's going on with it. From what I gather, the reviews I've read, it seems like the movie's pretty awesome. It continues and connects to the old movie incredibly well. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I also want to see Jackie Chan Foreigner. From what they say, it's the best of Jackie Chan. I don't really know how you can get more Jackie Chan than Rush Hour. If you bring Rush Hour back, then you bring Rush Hour back, then we can talk about Best of Jackie Chan. So him being in The Foreigner, if they mean Best of Jackie Chan, hopefully he's got some one-liners and he's kicking people. If he's doing all of that, then I'm completely with it. So I'm going to see a couple more movies. I'm going to set up this mic. I'm going to talk to you guys next week. I appreciate you listening. Take care.